Today's epistle reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. It is actually Luke 3, I can't print very clearly, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 22. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his garnery. But the chaff he will burn with the unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were being baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, he was praying. The heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, we've all heard the saying, blood is thicker than water. But we've all, no doubt, had those moments when we've looked at one relative or the other and wondered, I'm related to you? Surely there was a mix-up at birth. I mean, I personally spent my childhood thinking that I didn't belong. That surely there had been a mix-up and that my real parents were going to come and get me and they were going to put me in my real family and my real family was going to be this wonderful fantasy family that, you know, you had everything you wanted. And my sister one time told me she wished that was true. Well, I remember being instructed that, like it or not, we were family. And family was family. And we would stick together no matter what. You know, like it or not, that's true. We may sometimes look at our family and wonder where they came from. But when the chips are down, when we need someone just to say, "I understand," when it seems as though the whole world is turned against us, well, family's family. And it doesn't matter what happens or doesn't happen. It doesn't matter if you're a Rhodes Scholar or a Midnight Marauder. Family's family. And family sticks together. You know, I think that Jesus understood this. You see, he lived in a culture where genealogy was everything. Pedigree was very important. Who you were related to meant what you could do in life. And everyone knew everyone else's genealogy. And while his included David, the mightiest king that ever lived, who also had several moral issues, he also had a prostitute, at least one foreigner, and his own unwed mother. That meant that Jesus grew up knowing about wagging tongues, acid remarks and unfair innuendos. He grew up knowing what it was like to have people look at him and say, "Yeah, I know who you are." Do you remember when he went back the first time to try to preach in his hometown? And they tried to run him off a cliff? They knew who he was. And they knew who they weren't going to let him be. Family's family. And Jesus understood that. You know, that's one reason why I find today's gospel reading so interesting. You see, Matthew is the one who spends a great deal of time laying a very careful foundation, explaining exactly who Jesus was and the fact that he was a person without sin. Matthew has Jesus and John talking to each other, and John saying, "I'm not worthy to untie the sandals of your feet," and Jesus saying, "Baptize me," and John saying, "No, you should baptize me," and Jesus saying, "Just baptize me, okay, because..." But when you get to Luke, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing. No conversation. No interaction between the cousins. Oh, John tells the crowd, "I'm not the Messiah. There's one coming after me who is much more worthy than I." But then he begins to baptize. And all Luke says is that all the people were being baptized, and so was Jesus. It's as if he came one day and he saw the others. And without hesitating, he simply gets in line. And he goes forward with all the others. And he's baptized. It causes me to wonder, why, when Matthew spends so much time making certain that we understand who Jesus is, that in this opening scene of Jesus' ministry, Luke simply makes his baptism so ordinary. So much like yours and mine. But then I remember, family's family. Jesus knew what it was to be excluded and doubted. He knew what it was to have his reputation run through the mud, and to have people doubting. He stood and he watched and he listened as people, no doubt, threw barbs at his mother. He saw what they did to people who were less than pure. And so as he begins his ministry, Jesus goes to John and he sees the people. And his first act of his public ministry is to get in line with them. To say, "Here I am. I'm with you. You and I, we belong together." Jesus knows what it is to be so broken that one even wonders if God has deserted you. Jesus knows what it means to be so filled with doubt you don't know where to turn. And Jesus knows what it is to be so alone that you're afraid to open your eyes in the dark. And so he gets in line and he says, "Here I am. I won't leave you." Now, Christians, that's the good news. Jesus chose to become one of us, to become part of the human family, so he could share our lives. And as a result, he knows what it is like to sometimes become so overwhelmed with life that even the strongest among us become weak-kneed and faint-hearted. He also knows about those moments when we want to give up, when we want to give up on ourselves and those around us. And he comes and he stands with us. And he says, "No, here I am. You and I, we belong to the same family tree. We're together. Don't worry." And if we believe that, then we can find the strength that we need to live faith-filled lives. And once we accept his love for ourselves, once we stand in line with him and find the strength and the courage that we need, then we need to give it to others. We need to go out into the world and offer his love and his grace and his peace and his hope. We need to stand in solidarity with those whom society so often turns their back on. And when acid tongues begin and gossip, when barbs are thrown, Jesus says, "Get in line. Family is family. Don't let it happen." But that's a tall order, isn't it? I mean, that's almost asking us to be superhuman. It's scary. And we can't do it unless we remember that the story, even in Luke, did not end there. Does anybody remember what Jesus did right after he was baptized? He prayed. And it was as he was praying, asking God for guidance and strength, that the heavens opened up, the dove descended in bodily form, and he heard the voice, "You are my son, my beloved, in you I am well pleased." And at that moment, he knew he could get up, and he could go forth, and he could do exactly what he was being called to do, because he was God's beloved. It was the reminder that he needed when life turned against him, that night in the garden when it was so very dark. He was God's beloved. Now, friends, if we are going to take our place in the line, we have to do what Jesus did. We have to pray. We have to receive the Holy Spirit. We have to let it strengthen us. And we have to believe the words, "You are my child. In you, I am well pleased." Jesus heard those words and it changed his life forever. And they can do the same for you and for me. So are you a Rhodes Scholar or a Midnight Marauder? Are you a dreamer or a schemer? Are you strong or weak? Are you content or questioning? Well, it really doesn't matter, for we are all in the same family. Family's family. May our lives make it so. To God be the glory. And all God's children say,
Amen.
Well, guess what? I have a cousin three times removed who lives in Kearney, Nebraska. I found out when my daughter, who's into genealogy, called and said, "Mom, as long as you're going to Kearney, do you think you could take some pictures with you?" I said, "Why am I taking pictures to Kearney?" She said, "Well, you see, you have this cousin." I said, "No, I don't see." She says, "Well, you have one. She lives in Kearney, and she wants these pictures that she got from somebody else who I didn't know existed either. She said, do you mind?" And I said, "I'm going to Kearney, Nebraska with pictures that I'm going to give to someone I don't know." And she said, "Of course, you're her cousin." I said, "Terrific. Of course, I'll be delighted." So I'm going to Kearney, Nebraska, and I'm going to get to meet a cousin I never knew existed. And you know what? I've been told that she looks a whole lot like me. Scary, huh? But we're all a family. And when we look at each other and we see God's love being reflected through us, then we realize we have nothing to fear. We are God's beloved. So go and live it into a reality. May those you meet reflect His love to you, and may you reflect His love back. And if not, then shine. Shine with His light so others may receive. Go in peace to love and to serve. Amen.